Welcome to another episode of the Career Talks Podcast. I'm your host. Each and every week, I bring you amazing people to provide actionable advice for your career and life. As always, I'm your host, Orlando Haynes. And before we get started, I want to make sure that you support the podcast as we continue to grow across 15 countries and more. So super excited about the growth, the support. Please subscribe to Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, whatever you want to go to, any podcast platform. So super excited for the support, but let's get ready to dive in. So I followed this young lady for about a year. I've noticed her content. And then a while ago, I put out a request for, you know, who would you like to see on the podcast? And then a mutual friend, Miss Diana YK Chan, so shout out to her, said, hey, you should definitely talk to her, you know, get her on the podcast. So revisited her content. I love what she did last year. We'll probably bring it up around the holiday season, which we talked about. But she is the founder of Career Bloom Coaching, hailing all the way from Hawaii, which is going to be amazing, but loving the topic tonight. Miss Teresa White, how are you, Teresa?
I am great. Thanks for having me, Orlando. So excited to be here.
Thank you for saying yes. I always tell my guests, want to appreciate them saying yes. You could have said no at any point, right? You're in that.
I would say no to a conversation with you.
appreciate that. Appreciate that so much. So first of all, let's share for folks who are not familiar with who you are and the amazing content you bring. Share a little more about you and your program and your company overall.
Sure. So I always get asked where my accent is from, so I'll start there. I'm originally from Germany, but being super lucky to be calling Hawaii my home for the last 15 years. Yes, 15 years. I moved here when I was 24. So, and loving life here. But for the longest time while I was living here, I was loving Hawaii, but I was stuck in a corporate job. I hated it. I was in HR recruiting, and it just was not the right fit for me. Well, I started management, HR, and then into recruiting. It was not what I wanted to do, but I felt really stuck there because I was like, what else can I do? Like, this is what I've done all my career. Like, what else is there for me? And I didn't see a way out of it. But I got to a point where I was just so frustrated and unfulfilled and not, like, just miserable at work and then outside of work because it drained me so much that I needed to make a change. Mm-hmm. And that's what got me into career development. I really started learning everything there is about how do you find your strengths, your skills, what makes you come alive. And as I was learning more and more about myself, I got more and more fascinated by it. And that became my huge passion that eventually turned into my career now as a career clarity coach and the founder of Career Bloom, where I help women who want to make a career change and who are in the situation that I was once in. They're successful, but often unfulfilled or feel stuck. And I help them find what it is that they truly want to do and then support them through making that career change.
Love it. Love it. Awesome. I'm excited for this topic. And we'll get into it a little deeper and unpack some things that I took part of. So, but first, let me say hi to Anna for tuning in. Appreciate you, Anna. And Roseanne, you said you're listening in on your travels back. So be careful on the road. Appreciate you supporting. Folks, I see more people on, but go ahead and say hello to Teresa and I. If you have any questions, let us know where you're hailing in from. As such. So tonight's topic is creating a spark in your career clarity. So where does that resonate with you when you talk about, you just mentioned, you know, corporate job, didn't like it, HR background, you needed a spark, obviously, yes, which caused you to make the transition. Where was that initial epiphany for you to where you said, you know what, I need something different?
There was one specific moment that was the trigger, but it built over years. It was, I'm very career driven. I'm one of the high achievers and I climbed the ladder in front of me and that's what I did. And, but it, deep down, I was like, I know this isn't actually where I want to go. I'm just going it because it's in front of me and because I'm supposed to do it. It wasn't the ladder I really chose where I was like, this is truly where I want to go. And that feeling inside of me was always there, but it just slowly grew bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm. And also one big piece of that was that, I mean, I was working 50, 60 hours a week. So it was a really intense corporate job. But it wasn't just the time at work. It was also how much it took out of me. I didn't come home and feel like great about the what work I did. I came home and I was so drained and exhausted that I didn't really have a life outside of work. And that was a big piece. And then that turning point really was when I was in a commission-based recruiting position and I was doing really well. I was outperforming the previous person in my role by over 200%, which also made me earn a really good salary. Mm-hmm. Instead of getting any recognition for the work I did and the hard work I did, I just got a pay cut because they were like, you're making too much money. We're gonna, yes. And there was no thank you and no nothing with that. And that was inside of me. I was like, okay, I already knew, I've known this for years that I'm not happy there, but this got to a point where my values just don't align with the company's values. And it wasn't just about the money. It was more so if I would have gotten a thank you and a recognition and feel valued for the work I did, I could have lived with maybe the money, maybe. But it just felt like I wasn't valued there. That was what it came down to me. And that was the triggering point where I was like, okay, this is now it. But then you kind of jump, it's like jumping off a cliff, like, okay, I'm leaving what I knew and what was familiar for so many years to, I don't know where I'm going next. And that got me into this deep dive into career development and I fell in love with it.
Love that. Love that story. So obviously a lot of folks who are listening can resonate with that, you know, that corporate grind. I myself still work in the corporate space, so can definitely resonate with that for sure. So when you started to think, okay, there's something more, you were leaving something familiar that was paying well, but there was no recognition. So what are you seeing from your coaching clients? Are they looking at salary or more value? Because you mentioned the word value too. So what are you seeing there? And obviously for you, was that more important than the income at the point? It was like, I want to do something where I feel valued and that, you know, I love doing every day versus just, yes, I'm earning, I'm excelling, but this is, you know, I'm not valued in space.
That's such a great question, Orlando. And it is very true that with my clients, I see no one wants to take a pay cut. So I see a lot like I want to at least stay where I am or go up a little bit. But the people I talk to, they're not the ones who are like, I want to make 100,000 more next year than I'm making right now. Way more important is to them the work-life balance, feeling valued, being aligned with their values, doing work that feels fulfilling and meaningful. And finding a job that has all of the ingredients they're looking for while staying at the same level or a little bit higher, because a lot of times with a career change comes a higher salary, is their ideal. So it's much more about feeling fulfilled, doing meaningful work while obviously making enough money to have the lifestyle that you want. But that portion weighs really, really big, and the work-life balance as well.
Awesome. So where was that spark? Let's talk about the spark.
And then the spark.
It's the play on words, but yes. When we say spark, what does that mean to you?
So the spark type, the spark comes from the spark type, which is an assessment developed by Jonathan Fields. It's a free assessment out there, so it takes 10 minutes about. And I'm a certified spark type advisor, but even before that, I was a huge fan about that from the assessment. It was kind of the moment in my life I took the assessment, I was like, whoa, like suddenly my life makes sense and it explains so much. And I get that response with a lot of clients who take it. But it is developed by Jonathan Fields. It's very research-based, based on 30 million data points. It had gone through a couple of different phases of development. And it's gotten to a point where 92% of people completing the assessment find their results very to extremely accurate, which makes it really stand out from other assessments. And the other piece about it is that it's not measuring what we're good at. It's measuring what makes us come alive. So that's where the word spark comes in. Like, what is that What is the work that you would love to do, even if no one would get would pay us for it? Mm-hmm. What is it just that gives us that feeling of fulfilling and meaningful and just aligning with who we are? And that's really the beauty of the assessment, that I haven't found any other assessment that taps into this piece of that spark.
I love that. And we talked about that prior to jumping on. I think it was last week when we chatted. And that was the thing that for me was pretty cool. It touches your soul almost, Hick, right? It's like, yes. What really causes you to not also, spark and come alive? But like you said, if you didn't get paid, but you had no financial concerns and you just wanted to do this the rest of your life, what would that be? And I think every other assessment that comes around talks about what are you good at versus, yes, I can be good at accounting, but I hate it. I met tons of people like that, right? Yeah. They're good at their job and what they're doing, but that's not what they love and what brings them alive. So let's dive a little deeper into that. When did you first take that?
About a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I took it about a year and a half ago, and it was a huge eye opener. And exactly what you said right now, there are so many things we're good at, but we don't love doing. Mm-hmm. And so I can share about my results for a second, then we can talk about yours.
Yep,
so let's do it. Primary spark type is a scientist, and it's about figuring things out. And that's true. That's who I am. Like, give me a challenge to figure out, give me a problem to figure out, and you don't have to pay me. Like, I love doing that work. Give me a puzzle, anything, as long as there's something for me to figure out. Once it's figured out, I need a new thing. And the beauty of the assessment is it doesn't tell you what job I need to have, right? It doesn't say like, oh, now you need to work in a laboratory and do experiments all day long. Yeah. It's not that, but it's now I'm aware of that. And I tap into that in my coaching so much. So for me, how I really love using that impulse is when I work with clients, I see that as a puzzle of like, I see their skills and I see their experience. I see what makes them come alive. I see the accomplishments they have, their resume and what they want to do and their interests. And how can we put all these puzzle pieces together to find that right career for them, that ideal career? And that's like totally my scientist. So that is the beauty of it, that we can tap into it in so many different ways.
Because it gives you three. So what's your number two and what's your third one?
So my primary is a scientist. My shadow spark type is the essentialist. The essentialist is I make order out of chaos. And it's something I'm really good at. So creating order out of any kind of chaos. So no matter if that is organizing something physically or a process, and creating my coaching program, you can very much see it was created by an essentialist. It is very step-by-step and organized and simplification and distilling it down to what works the best and really taking that whole chaos and the complexity of a job search and career change into simple, measurable, doable steps. Mm. The interesting thing, and I will talk about it if that is for you, true for you too, is that while we are really good often at doing the work of our sparkotype, we usually do it to do the work of our primary better and not necessarily because it makes us come alive. So that creating order for me, I'm good at it and I can do it really well. And it's something I enjoy, but I don't love it the way I love solving problems. And I only create the order because it helps me to solve problems better.
Love it. So we have scientist, essential, and then what's your anti?
Anti sparkotype is the advocate. That is giving voice and championing others. And now you might be like, and the beauty of the anti is, again, it's not something we're bad at. It never tells us what we're good or what we're bad at. It also doesn't tell us if we care or not care about something. I really care about the people that I work with. I really deeply care. But when I also in my role in HR, I cared about my employees so much. But I tap into my primary to help them. So while someone who has the advocate as a primary, it comes really easily for them to champion and advocating for others and shining the light on people that are underrepresented. For me, that would be a heavier lift. I can do it and I can do it well, but it would take more energy out of me. For me, it's much more natural to type into my scientist. So when I see there is an idea or people or a group that is underrepresented, I go immediately into my scientist and be like, how can we solve that? How can we figure this out? And that's how I tap into helping others. So that is a little bit of a background on the advocate. But for some people, that comes easy.
You said that was called the after...
Advocate. So advocate. For
okay.
Others.
Yep. The advocate. Okay. Yep. Oh, okay. Got it. Got it. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, we can dive into mine and you can kind of give me some more advice and detail around that for sure.
So your primary was the maker.
Mm-hmm.
The maker is creating the idea of creation, right? I make ideas manifest, all about creating. And I would imagine that it makes you come alive when you can start with an idea and then turn that into something that exists in the world. Does that resonate with you?
It does. And it doesn't have to be when I read through it, it doesn't have to be something physical, which I thought was phenomenal. So for me, it's right. The idea of the podcast, it doesn't have to be the first thing, but to think about it and to say, you know what, I'm going to take an immediate massive action and do it. Then the books, I wrote books. There's the books, then there was the planner. Now there's also additional in-person events. So all these things that come to mind, I'm like, and it's all in the same ecosystem of career development. And I'm like, absolutely. If I think of something and I can reach out and collaborate and get it off the ground, get people together, that's why I'm like, I'm moving, I'm progressing. You know, and that's why I feel definitely more alive and I'm not stagnant.
I can see that. And your podcast is such a beautiful illustration of how you do that work. If you start with the idea of sharing career knowledge with the world, and then you're actually turning that idea into a reality.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Let me see. Go ahead.
And then your shadow was the advocate, and it's not hard, the advisor, sorry, your shadow was the advisor, and it's not hard to see that you enjoy coaching, mentoring, and advising. Which is what the advisor is all about. It's about creating others through a process of discovery and growth. Did that resonate with you as well?
Yeah, I think that is definitely a core thing for me. So, and I stay in my competence or excellence right there, my core excellence, which is, it is career development. I can talk about it all day, all year. Yeah. And so when I'm in a conversation, even in the corporate space, or in my business, and I'm going out speaking events, et cetera, whether it's in person or online, I'm all about once you've had an interaction with me about conversation, you're walking away with some tip or advice. So that's the goal. I want to give you one nugget that you can be like, oh, wow, that works. Let me go try it. And you come back and just say, hey, I tried it. It worked. Right. So I'm all about educating, advising, kind of peeling back the onion, sharing things that the standard job seeker may not know. And so that really, it's like, it's a part of my makeup. That's what I do.
It's true that oftentimes, like when we read those results, it's like, oh, this is so me.
Yeah.
It just helps give us words to it, but it's like, this is a part of me.
Yep.
And I can see that so beautifully. I mean, your podcast is a tool that guides others through this process of discovery and growth. Like you really taking that to build a whole podcast out of it and everything you do with your speaking. And I think it even dives into the conversations itself that you're having, the people that you bring on your podcast, and building that trusting atmosphere on here where it makes it really easy for me or other speakers to have genuine conversations. And you ask meaningful questions and really facilitate a deep discussion.
Love it. Love it. Awesome. Going good so far. Feeling good.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I can also see like how your shadow and your primary will really flow together. Like your advisor of loving to guide others through career growth. And that turned into the maker of like, okay, I'm making a podcast out of this.
Yeah. Absolutely. Amazing. Absolutely.
How do you feel about your anti-sparker type, the performer? And the performer is an anti-sparker type where it's, again, it's nothing you're good or bad at. It's a heavier lift. When you do it, we feel a little from what drain? Usually when you're doing the work of our primary, like for you, that making or advising and coaching, it gives us energy. When we do the work of an anti, it often is a little more draining and we feel more tired, exhausted after.
Yep.
And the anti, the performer, is the one about enlivening meetings and bringing the energy, animating, bringing the energy and bringing entertainment to a stage.
Absolutely.
Does it feel like a heavier lift for you?
It does. So both in the corporate space and in the business, in the podcast, right? So even if, so I'll stay on the business side when it times for a speaking opportunity, right? Mentally, you may not feel it. Physically, you may not feel it, but you know, you still got to deliver. Yeah. And so you're like, okay, I got to make sure my energy is high, my cadence and how I'm interacting, you know, the inflection in my voice and tone, because I have a very monotone voice. And so it's being mindful of all those things and physically being present during a presentation or a conversation, mainly around presentations, whether, again, in the corporate space or in my business. And I can feel it, because I do a lot of, also on the corporate side, I do a lot of career fairs. So I have to be energetic and engaging for several hours. And I am done after that. And one of the things it said is it takes longer for you to recover.
Yeah.
And it does. Yeah. It's a longer recovery process because you feel mentally and physically drained because you are in essence performing. But while I'm in the midst of it, I love it. It's the leading up to it. And then once it's after, I'm like, oh my God, I need like 3 months off. I feel like it. I need a full recovery.
Thanks for sharing that, Orlando. And that is so insightful because the performer is actually the most common anti-sparka type. So a lot of people. And it's so, I want to say it again, that it's not, if this is your anti, that you're not good at it. You can be an amazing public speaker. It's exactly what you said. It's like, it takes energy out of you and you need more time to recover. So a lot of the coaching is not around like, how can you never do that again? But how can you be aware of that? That when you have to do that, it'll take more energy. What can you do to, can you schedule an easier afternoon if you have a morning performing? Can you schedule an easier afternoon so it gives you time to recharge? How can you weave that into your day?
I love that. So when you took it and you started to learn your three, where did it spark for you? Not to overuse the word, but where you said, okay, I need to start coaching. Because you could, right, like you said, it doesn't talk about a career path. It just talks about what sparks you, what gets you alive. What chose you to do career coaching? Was it simply your HR background?
It slowly evolved from that, yes. So once I left my HR role, and you might relate to that when you're in recruiting and HR, you have a lot of people reaching out to you with questions or for guidance. And it seems to be the natural thing to do is to help others. And I always enjoy doing that. And then I was like, okay, I'm really interested in the career coaching space. And then I was working with my first two clients and they both were at that moment where they're like, I had the background as recruiting. I was like, come to me, tell me you want to get that job. I will work with you, build your resume, your job search strategy. We're going to get you into that. But they both came to me and were like, I don't know what else I want to do. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to do what I'm doing. And that was such a like, oh my God, that is so fascinating. Let's figure this out together. We're going to figure this out. And as I was helping them through it and gaining more of the tools and then getting certified in different career clarity certifications, that became my passion. So it really evolved from just the job search into the career clarity. And then really the icing on cakes was the Sparka type. So I used the Gallup Strength Finder before, which I think is very, very valuable. It's a great assessment. But there was always a piece missing for me in my coaching. And I was successful helping people, but I was always feeling like I wish there would be a way to get to that deeper level. And I got there with asking questions and trying to find that piece, but the Sparka type was really like, this is what I was looking for. This is exactly what I need.
Yeah. As you're talking, it's more like a, and I, you know, it'd be great if they were compensating you for showcasing their right.
Jonathan Fields, he deserves right? all the promotion in the world.
But it's almost like a digital therapy session once you get the results, right? Because like you said, the Gallup and all the other ones, I can't list so many that I've taken as well. It predetermines your life, which that's what we don't necessarily mm-hmm. need coming from an assessment, right? They should be mirroring this one here, where it just says, hey, what makes you come alive? What would you do if you had no financial constraints or anything like that? But the other ones are saying, hey, you should definitely go here. And so that kind of predetermines the way we mm-hmm. should go. And we tend to fall back in those same trends. And we're like, okay, well, I'm already doing it. I guess it's telling me to go higher or go this way. And then you still find out, is that what you're really happy doing all the time versus what you think, you know, you should be doing because you're good at it? And so this is the folks that are listening, this is a huge separator in taking a Sparkitect type test. So you definitely want to take that. Like Teresa said, it's free. I took it. And it really opens the possibility. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to challenge a lot of folks about just life perspective. Maybe I'm going too deep, but that's what I got from it, was like, wow, I'm not doing nothing, right? Everything I'm doing in corporate is nothing that's identified here, because when you see the results, it's almost like you need to start journaling all those things that make you come alive. As you're taking the test, it pops in your brain. Oh I love doing this. I love doing that. And so I think it's like a real assessment of your life, and for you to really think what will keep you sparked and keep you alive in that journey. So phenomenal test. I appreciate you sharing that with me so much. Yeah, that
you're
is awesome.
Welcome. And it's interesting hearing you say that, because Jonathan Fields, who is the founder of the assessment, I think it's in his book, but I also heard him say it a couple of times, starts with, when you take the assessment, please take a deep breath and do not just throw your career out the window and quit that. Stop. Like, I don't want you to do that. Take a deep breath and process it first. And it is so amazing, because there's so like subtleties that we can approach our work with. And I just was reminded, as we were talking about your Sparky type, I was just working with a client, for example, and she had her anti was the performer, didn't like that entertaining, leading meetings, being the spotlight. And her primary was the advisor, the coaching and mentoring. And she was facing burnout because her job was meeting after meeting after meeting. And she was doing the work of her anti over and over and over. And what her aha moment was, and she was leading meetings a lot with small teams. And her aha moment was like, I could lead the meetings, but instead of seeing me as the facilitator, the one in the spotlight, I could turn that meeting into guiding and coaching and advising others. And only that shift of how she approaches those meetings were enough for her to be like, there's something I love about this job. So there is not necessarily that you need to quit your job and do something else. Sometimes you do, but sometimes it's, how can I approach it differently?
That's good. I mean, as you were talking again, and I'm thinking about the maker, my primary, and you kind of just said it, even though I'm not an advisor, I'm like, okay, so how do I get this out to more people for them to take an assessment and then give us the feedback, right? Yeah. Give us that feedback, whether it's in a, you know, group call, newsletters. My mind is thinking like, okay, Teresa is giving me an idea of how to leverage this. Again, I wouldn't definitely be someone who would break it down, because I'm not a certified advisor. Teresa is, so definitely reach out to her. But I'm thinking, okay, how do we push this out to more job seekers? Like, employers need this. Like, employers need to be using this to assess teams and things like that.
It is. Unfortunately, there is not. It's very confidential, so we Jonathan can't talk to us about it. As a certified Sparkitype advisor, but they are in big Fortune 500 companies where leaders took the test, like senior leadership took the test, and they were like, wow, this is incredible. I need the whole organization to take the test, and we need to rearrange work. So everyone in the company. And like for me, that is mind-blowing to think if you have a company where everyone does work that involves a lot of their end time, your employees are going to be drained and it's a heavy lift for them. If we could shift that and have everyone do something that makes them come alive, like how much the performance of the company would just be, it's just mind-blowing what's possible. And this is what they're working on. And I like my long-term goal is to get more involved in that because it's so fascinating.
Yeah, that's a game changer, life changer, industry changer, performance. Like I made a post a while ago. It was just said, hey, what if there was a way we can assess, you know, what we do 6 months into a year and say, hey, these are the pieces I don't like, and these are the pieces I do like. And then come to find out the assessment is very, very similar to that, you know, thinking along the same ways, like, what do I love about my job that makes me come alive? And you may find out, like you said earlier, it's not being in corporate. It may be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You don't go do that. Nothing wrong with that. Or you can do both. Or right. So, but it's really giving you that chance to say and realign your duties to be more productive and be more happy, especially in corporate America. Like I wish, and if you get more information on studies and what's coming out of that, I would love, like, that would be great for corporate America to adopt and be able to cross functional and like, okay, let's switch this, let's switch that. Boom. And we see productivity, longevity, retention with employees go up. So I think that's amazing. Yep.
Yeah. It is a new assessment, but this is all in the works. I'm thinking there's a lot more to come and we'll see a lot more. And it's spreading pretty quickly as people discover it, but it's still the new kid on the block.
Yeah. I think this is going to sweep. It's going to take some while, but I think people will get more benefit out of this.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree.
Absolutely. So when you're talking with, do you give all your clients this to take initially?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's where we start the career clarity process.
Are you seeing any common themes amongst that may stand out as a primary or anti?
No. So for example, the most common, I mean, I have the numbers actually somewhere in front of me in my book, in the Spark book, but there's numbers of what percentage fall into what, like what percentage have this certain one as a primary. And the most common primary is the maven, who is, I love to learn. So those are the people who just love to learn. They just, for no other reason than to soak up knowledge. That's the most common one. And then the most common anti is the performer, which it's really interesting because I think is it the second biggest fear of humanity is public speaking next to death.
Yep.
So it really is interesting that the performer is really like aligns with that. But even though, for example, if I work with 10 different clients and they're all mavens, they all love to learn, it plays out so differently for each of them. It doesn't mean that they are actually anything alike. There is someone who just really loves to dive into a deep topic really, really deep. And then there's others who just want to know everything and go really broad. And then there's all these different topics they can get into. So even if you have two people with the same Sparker type, it is still very individual and in how it plays out to you. Like if you would talk to another maker, you would be like, you would find that there's something in common, but there's also a lot of differences in how it actually plays out for you.
See, and that's why I'm thinking you need to build a community around this somehow.
This community. It's the Sparker type. It's the Sparker type endeavors. And there's a list of, I think it's the less than 100 Sparker type advisors that I'm included in. It's a very small community. But it is growing. It is growing, and there's lots of resources becoming available. So,
yeah, this is definitely cool for sure. So when you're out from a coaching perspective, and you said you right because it can find people can unravel and be like, I don't know what I want to do next, but I know what I don't love, and this is telling me, you know, I come alive, or I'm finding out from the assessment I come alive with this and that. doing this or this and that. What kind of conversations then are you having? Because now we're talking about a complete career transition, potentially, both in function and industry. So, which is two of the toughest things to handle. Yeah. Say if you're an accountant now, you want to do whatever, you want to bake cakes or whatever it is, right? You want to be in culinary. So when you're talking about those conversations, what are those conversations for folks who are like, I need a completely different industry and role because this has opened my eyes up to my passion, to my core?
So where I usually start is having the conversation of, when have you done the work of your primary spark archetype? So in your example, I would ask you, like, let's talk about examples at work, but maybe you've never been in a job that where you got to do the work of your primary. Then let's talk outside of work. But let's find examples of when you've done that work. And then we'll see, like, okay, what is it that, do you want to give me some examples? It'll be easier. Give me an example of when you've done the, when that first thing that comes to mind of when you were doing the work of the maker, of making an idea manifest.
So being in talent acquisition, so there's times where I had to revamp the process to from like application to conversation. It was taking too long. So I had to rethink that process to cut it down to, you know, a 24-hour, 48-hour process. Yeah. So that part of it was fun. Looking at what we were doing, how the process was going, assessing it, asking the key questions. What about this? What about that? Is there policy against this? Is there policy against that? If not, then, taking a day or two to kind of revamp it, presenting it, and then saying, let's try this. Let's dry run it. If we see an uptick in the performance and retention or increase in applications, let's do that. And when we seen that, it was like, wow. That was cool to make that switch within 30 days to improve the process. So doing things like that from a TA side, all about improving the process, creating a better candidate experience and things like that, educating them, better, which is those are always things that I look for within an organization. Yeah.
That's such a great example. So really, I mean, that's also an incredible achievement to revamp the process in 30 days.
One company, not every company, but one company.
Yeah, but for a company, that's still that's huge. So with that, I would really dive into deeper in like, okay, what was it like? So you had that idea. The idea was like, okay, we got to cut that process down to 24 hours for the candidate experience. What were the moments there that make you come alive? Like, was it the coming up with the idea or implementing the idea? And as we break it down and be like, okay, what were those moments that you love to do? Then we start talking about how would a job look like where you do that the majority of the time? Things like that. So it could be like, okay, what would a job look like where you get to take processes that are really long and they need to be shortened? And it's your job to shorten these processes. How would you feel about that? And what are the parts that excite you? What are the parts that don't excite you that you don't want to do? And that's where we start with the career change. Because I so strongly believe like every experience is experience and it's valid experience. We don't ever want to throw away what you had. But what are the ones that we want to dig out in your career history where those were the moments of spark? And then we build on them, we tell your story, and then we can tell your story of like, I have a pattern of success in rethinking processes to make them more efficient, more candidate friendly. And I've done that in A, B, and C example, and I want to do more of that in the future. And that's why I'm pursuing roles where this is the main focus.
Love that. I think that's so crucial. I think those are really impactful and deep dive conversations that you're having to really shift a thought process, right? We're so programmed to think a certain way when you're in corporate America, and to have that whole paradigm shift is huge. And again, kudos to John for the assessment to get that. And then kudos to you for seeing that opportunity, getting certified and being able to unpack that, because I don't know if many coaches out there do it. I know several, like we have mutual friends that do it, but I think you might be going a deeper level, because when it's time for a career transition, right? That's a different conversation.
Yeah.
That's a completely different conversation versus just upscale, get a certification, do this to improve on where you're at to go up versus we got to go completely left, start all over again, right? So that's, and to keep them motivated and like, hey, this is what you love to do. You just told me, you just found out. So
exactly.
Love that. Have you ever had a client that was like, that seemed hesitant and you had to kind of get them over the hump a bit to be like, hey. Oh.
All the time. And it is normal. Like there was a lot of fear for me when I left my corporate role, like mm-hmm. making a change, like even we're in our comfort zone. And even if we actually aren't happy there, it's still where we're comfortable. And getting out of that, there's always going to be fear. It's more for some people than for others. But I don't think I've ever worked with someone where that wasn't like, oh, this is easy peasy. Like, I'm just going to make some do something completely different. So there's always fear. And I think a big portion of it is when we draw the moment. So actually, I had a conversation with a client this morning, and we were talking a lot about imposter syndrome. And we drew up all the more moments in her history where she took on leadership roles, where she optimized processes, where she spoke up for employees. And after every example, she is like, I know this is a part of me and I care about people deeply, but I don't feel it was significant enough that I can tell the story. And I think that is like the imposter syndrome in off, where we're like, yeah, I've done this, but it was just at a small company, so it doesn't really count. Or yeah, I've done this, but it's just what I do. And that is a process of going from it's just something I did and it doesn't matter to like, seeing like, no, this is actually an accomplishment and it is okay for me to talk about it. It is okay for me to share that with the world. I'm not making something up. I'm talking about something I truly did, but I can own that accomplishment. And that's the first step we get to. And then the more comfortable they become just telling their story and highlighting the story in a way that makes sense for the career that they want to get to, that's also when their confidence grows and they feel like, okay, that initial fear is turning into a little bit of excitement because they see where they were getting to. And also that growth of confidence is just beautiful.
That's interesting. I don't think I heard anyone say it out loud, that they're diminishing their accomplishments due to the size of the organization. Like you said, it didn't matter. Like this bigger validation because the company is bigger. Yeah. That's an interesting perspective. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we've all gone through it. I believe I might've gone through it too, but for folks to assume that there's no credibility to it because it was a smaller company, it's real life. You're working, you're getting paid, right? It's actually happening. So, that's, I wonder if anybody else is thinking that too, or experienced that. So for anyone watching, if you experience that, just say yes in the chat. If you've experienced, and let me clarify again, if you experienced, you know, improving a process, doing something well in a previous career, but it was a smaller company and you were like, you know, the company was only 500 people or 3,000 people versus, you know, larger companies today, like, because you've done it in a large company, it makes a bigger impact. Yeah. Not always the case. Now, I mean, not at all.
Yeah. I mean, even when we look at startups and they have 50 employees, that can have a bigger impact than you can have at a company that has 30,000 employees. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much to talk about that. But yeah, no, I find people always find a way to minimize their accomplishments. A lot of people. If it's the company size, just because it's what they did, it wasn't. There's always a chest to it. So whenever that chest is happening, I listen up, be like, is that really chest? You just did that? Or is that you actually did that?
I don't even know what that means. I just did. Okay. Yeah. You actually did it. Yeah.
You did it.
Just walked across the street. You walked across the street. Right. Exactly. So we got Sonia saying yes, Dawn saying yes, appreciate you. Oh, so Inez had an earlier question, but Anna threw in the link to the Spark. Yeah, so Inez, if you take that, absolutely share with both Teresa and I your primary, your shadow, and your anti. You don't have to go on depth, but just what are those top three? Anna's the expert on the advisory side, so she can break that down if you wanted to, you know, have a consultation with her. But what would be some additional actionable steps that you would say for a first time person who's exposed to you and saying, hey, if you guys are raving about this assessment, you're the advisor, you're the certified advisor. How do I tap into that? And how do I connect with you? What would that process look? And we shared about it, but let's cap it maybe in one or two, three steps that they would experience partnering with you.
Absolutely. So we can start one or two ways. One-on-one conversations are always great because then we really get to know each other and I can learn about what your situation is and what you see for yourself. And as I said, a lot of people are afraid, and I get people who say, like, I want to make a career change, but I have absolutely no idea what else I want to do. So I feel like I'm not ready to talk to you. I'm not ready. And so I have that conversation a lot where I tell them, this is exactly where you need to be, because this is those are the clients I work with. You have no clue what you want to do. So this is the starting point. And you already actually got to that point, because a lot of people are stuck and unhappy, but they aren't at a point yet where you're like, okay, I need to make a change. So you've already taken that really big first step of saying, like, I'm unhappy, I don't like what I did, but I'm ready for something new. I just don't know what that is. So you've already taken a huge step into that zone of the unknown. So you can set up a free consultation with me one-on-one. And then also I'm starting to host, because the Sprecher type is getting so much, so many people want to learn more about it and have more deeper conversations about it. I'm hosting a monthly free workshop on having a sparked conversation, which is the initial dive into the Sprecher type, a little bit of what we touched on today. So I'm hosting the next free workshop on, I think, October in 10 days. What is this? 7, 8, 9, 10. I think on the 21st.
March 21st of March.
Okay. If anyone is interested, send me a DM and I'll send you the link to it. It's a free workshop that I'm hosting once a month. So that is a great first dive into learning more about what the Sprecher type means and how that individually shows up for you. And then if someone is interested in pursuing that further and we're like, okay, I really want to make that career change, I want you to guide me through that, I have a coaching program, the Career Clarity Formula, which goes through three steps. First is the clarity, because that's what I so strongly believe. If you want to make a career change, but we don't know where we want to go, we're never going to get there.
Yep.
So we got to start this clarity in. The Sprecher type is one part of it, but there's also a lot of other parts of it that come into it till we can be like, okay, this is what your ideal role looks like that we want to target. And then we go into the personal branding of how do we now tell your story so it positions you as the ideal candidate for it. And that's kind of what we touched on. Good. Like, how can we draw out that pattern of success that shows you can do that work? Even if it was just a small piece of your previous job, you've done it. And we're going to weave your story around that and then show you are the ideal candidate for that role. And then we go into that active job search, and that becomes a lot easier because you know how to tell your story. You know what you're targeting. You know the companies you're targeting. You know the roles you're targeting. You know who to have conversations with. Your LinkedIn profile is streamlined, looks great. And that's when people land, make a career change actually in really short amounts of times because they've done that pre-work of clarity and personal branding.
Love it. I love that you have personal branding in there. It's one of my favorite topics. Yeah. So that's super crucial. I love that. Yeah. So wow, time has flown already. So I want to be mindful. So I know you still have probably some clients on deck for this afternoon.
I do.
So share one other, let me ask you this. Here's the one question I always ask folks. That I'm bringing back to the podcast is, what makes you do what you do? What's your North Star and why you coach?
Because I think people need to do more work that makes them come alive. Mm. And you touched on that before. Like, if we imagine every individual doing the work of their primary Sprecher type, doing something that makes them come alive, but then we think about companies. Imagine a company where every employee gets to do the work that feels aligned with who they are and that feels meaningful, and they do their best work because they're really in the space they belong. And then we think about the whole society of like everyone doing something that sparks them. Like for me, that would change the world because there would be so much more fulfillment and people would feel meaningful. And because work is a huge part of our lives. We spend 40 hours there a week. And if we spend that time doing something that really aligns with who we are and makes us come alive and makes us feel energized, for me, the whole world would change. So that is my big North Star.
Love it. Love it. So Teresa, share with folks where you just did a little bit, but share where they can consume your content the most and get in contact if there's a consultation they can subscribe to or request. Share with the folks where they can connect with you the most.
Absolutely. So my website is careerbloomcoaching.com, careerbloomcoaching.com. That's where you can schedule a free consultation. You can also find me on LinkedIn. It's LinkedIn/Teresa-A-White. You can follow me on LinkedIn. That's where I share daily content. Easiest way to get in touch with me is to just send me a DM. You can just say career change and we'll take it from there. We'll dive into where you are right now, where you want to go, and if this is something I can help you with. So either my website or LinkedIn are the two places to find me.
Love it. Love it. Teresa, I appreciate you so much again for saying yes, for sending me the assessment, asking me to take that, which was hugely eye-opener. I'm going to send that to my wife, people I know, and just like, hey, take this and tell me what you think. Right. And then like, if you want to learn more, connect with Teresa for sure. But I so appreciate the knowledge. I think this is an absolute game changer. You're about to be in a season where folks are going to be flooding to you because this assessment itself is life-changing, I think. And then they're going to need to unpack it and understand what it is. And they need folks like you who are certified advisors in the Sparker type assessment to really drive their career. And so super excited for what that looks like. And again, folks, who if you're listening and you take it, thanks to Anna who posted the link. Take it, and again, let Teresa and I know what your primary is, your shadow, and your anti. You don't have to go in depth. Yes. Just let us know what your three is.
Please do.
Yeah.
Like I'm serious. Like anyone who takes the assessment and sends me their results, you make my day because I just love it. It just is so fun to be like, okay, oh, this is exciting. Let's resonate with you. Having that conversation, I just love it. So please know that you make my day if you DM us your primary shadow and anti-sparker type.
Awesome. Love it. You have to make a spreadsheet and post it like out of the 3,000 that sent it, this is the percentage of who are here, and here. That'll be cool to see sometime.
Yeah, totally.
All right, folks. Well, I appreciate you tuning in this week. Continue to support the podcast. Subscribe. Follow Teresa. Take the assessment. Impact and change your life. We'll see you next week, folks.
Thank you so much, Orlando. It was so great to have be here.
Absolutely.